Hello and welcome to another phase. I'm your host, Tamara Dreesen, and this week I'm talking all about periods, hormones, and menstrual health with Lanice Brothers. I've talked about periods in previous episodes with Lisa Lister and Estee Lalonde, and I discussed coming off birth control last season, but we go deeper in this one with Lanice, who is also known as the Period Lady. I don't think that periods and menstrual health are talked about enough, and it's just presumed that we know what we need to know. It's another one of those things that just happens and we get on with, but we don't have much awareness about what's really going on with our bodies and potentially what it's trying to tell us. It's often only thought about and investigated when you're trying to conceive, but hormone imbalances can really impact our life experience, regardless of whether you want to get pregnant and have a baby or not. Whenever I mention periods or PCOS, which is an abbreviation for polycystic ovary syndrome, I get a lot of replies from people that have experienced hormone imbalances and menstrual health issues, and it's something that I'm navigating as well as some of my close friends. It's so common, but it doesn't mean that we just have to accept it. One of the reasons why I wanted to record this conversation with Lanice is because there are so many different ways that we can support and heal our bodies and start to feel better in the process. Lanice is an expert in this field and she makes all of this information so accessible. I love her reels on Instagram so much because they're like bite-sized lessons that can help us make sustainable changes in our health and well-being. It doesn't have to be like this drastic overhaul. You know what they say, like small changes, small shifts create big changes. You know what I mean? I want to say that when I talk about the pill, that is my opinion based on my personal experience, and it's an opinion for myself. I'm not a healthcare professional at all. Like, I'm not here to diagnose or advise. I know some people who are on the pill and it's really beneficial for them. It's just not for me. And what's happened for me when I have been on the pill and how that's made me feel and how that's impacted my mental health. So that's also why I might come across quite strongly and averse to it, because it's just, based on my experience. Lanice, in this conversation, she also talks about shame around being on the pill. And I just want to second that. Like, you just need to do, as always, what's right for you, and listen to your body and what's right and what you need in that time. Don't, just because something doesn't work for someone else doesn't mean that that won't work for you, and vice versa. So as always, just like listen and trust yourself. I am someone who has experienced painful periods for as long as I can remember. I was diagnosed with PCOS a few years ago. I've had hormonal acne and most recently been told that I've got anovulatory infertility, which means that I haven't been releasing any eggs. I don't know how long that's been going on for, but through some tweaks in my diet and lifestyle and taking supplements and doing Catch 5K, yay, Catch 5K, I've completed it. I've regulated my cycle and now I'm focusing on the ovulation side of things. I had my first experience of acupuncture when I was in Newquay a few weeks ago, which was really interesting. My friend actually was really lovely and booked it for me as a birthday present so that I could try it. I've heard so many good things about acupuncture for fertility and well-being, but I know that I need to have more treatments to really be able to see if it's for me and if it works. Not that, obviously, if it works for me, like, I think that acupuncture definitely works, but if it's the one for me. But again, acupuncture is something that I feel really drawn to, so I'm trusting that nudge that I'm getting to explore that more. And also, I've had sessions with Nat in Newquay, because that's who my friend sees and that was recommended. And then I've been recommended a guy by Estee, who is in London, who does a type of acupuncture called Five Elements. So I went for my first session there last week and I'm going there again on Friday. He's also recommended a fertility clinic on Harley Street that I've booked in to see, so that I can get all of my tests and scans redone in one go at one time to see where I'm at now. I was going through the NHS, but the process has been so long. I've been talking about years. Then appointments that have been cancelled due to the pandemic, and they don't seem to offer the AMH test for ovarian reserves to see if I've even got any eggs to be releasing. So I'm looking forward to investing in myself, getting more answers so that we can go from there. I guess that I'm sharing all of this because I know how overwhelming it can be, and also a lonely journey, because it's something that most won't ever fully understand unless you've been there. In case you're in a similar position, I just wanted to let you know that you aren't alone. There are lots of different avenues that we can take, and I think that the healing really begins when we listen to our bodies, ask questions, tune into what's right for us, and most importantly, trust the process. I really hope that you find this episode with Lanice insightful and empowering. So for anybody who isn't familiar with your work, how would you describe what you do?
So, I mean, at the very heart, I am a nutritionist, mm-hmm. and I specialize in women's health, hormones, and the menstrual cycle. Some people call me the period lady. if you kind of distilled it to the essence, is basically helping people have better periods and menstrual cycles.
And I think that's so important because it's something that I've been working on consciously for the last few years, but also something that I didn't have awareness of until a few years before that, because we're just not taught about our periods or hormones or our menstrual cycle, which is now I know about it. It's mind blowing. It's like, why aren't we taught this more thoroughly in school?
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. Like, I mean, you're not alone in having these light bulb moments about, well, what if I learned this younger? I mean, I feel the same way myself. So much pain could have been avoided if I just knew about all of this when I was much younger. I mean, I myself didn't really learn about this properly until I was trying to get pregnant. But even then, it was really focusing on ovulation, mm-hmm. and like the egg, when not really looking at my whole menstrual cycle. So it's been a journey for me as well.
And how did this become your career?
Yeah, so I worked in advertising for about 15 years, mm-hmm. and I loved it. I had a great job. I was traveling a lot. And I mean, on the surface, it was like so glamorous, you know.
It's always the way, isn't it?
I know. It looks glamorous from the outside. But, you know, what people didn't see was like the late nights by myself hovering over a laptop in a hotel room, eating room service, like being in meetings in an industrial park outside the city. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't see anything. It's just people see what they want to see. But towards the end of my time in advertising, my husband and I decided that we wanted to try for a baby. And then I was starting to feel like a bit burnt out. You know, I'm drinking a lot of coffee in the morning, drinking a lot of alcohol, red wine, that was my thing, in the evening. And it was just on this real roller coaster. And I remember specifically, like, we were in New York for a wedding and we were sitting in Central Park, just kind of chatting and taking it all in. And I said to him, you know, if we're going to do this, let's do it now. Cause I was a bit ambivalent. I know you haven't asked me about my fertility story, but
no, tell us. Like, if you don't mind me asking, like, how old were you at that point?
I was 31.
Right.
Yeah. So we decided we were just going to go for it. And then with that new context, I started seeing my career very differently. Mm-hmm. And it took a while to get pregnant, but in the meantime, I started thinking about what else, what next, how can I have a baby, have a child, and do this? And then over time, then I gave birth, went on my maternity leave, and I realized I just couldn't do it anymore. So then I decided to retrain in nutrition, because I had always been really interested in nutrition, reading lots of books. And I thought, well, what a great thing to go into. And I freelanced at the same time, because I just couldn't, just stop working. I mean,
especially if you're used to a certain wage and you've got a baby to look after.
And so then while I was training, our lecturers always said to us, you've got to specialize. You know, you can't be a Jack or Jill of all trades. It just, you've got to kind of find something that will really connect with people, because, you know, nutrition, people say they're nutritionists, but what will connect with people?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought I would focus on gut health, because I always found that really interesting. I had anxiety and depression for a long time, and that's really connected with what's happening in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started to think, what about periods? Couldn't that be interesting? Because at the time, not that many people were doing it. And I'd read this book and I thought, I could do this. I can write this. I can write a better, I won't say what book it is.
No.
I could write a better book. And so then that's how I got into this space. It was a real journey, a real evolution, but I just feel like I'm where I'm meant to be.
Wow. And that's the best feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you have to have all of those kind of hurdles and those experiences to get to that moment as well, don't you? And to appreciate it.
Yeah, 100%. I really love that feeling of, I don't love comparing myself to other people. I've really trained myself to not do that most of the time.
Yeah. Well done.
But I love looking back on my journey and thinking, like, remember when, you know, this is what you wanted. And yes, it's an Instagram cliche.
But it's real.
Yeah. it's really like being where in the position I am now, I just think, like, wow, it's just so amazing.
Yeah, and that's such an important point that you've made about, like, the only person you should be comparing yourself is to yourself, and taking that moment to reflect on how far you have come, because most of us don't realize how much we are evolving and changing and growing, and all of those little things that feel really little can make such a big impact. But it's not until we look back that we see the shift that they've supported to happen.
You're so right. And we kind of take for granted that we're changing and we're evolving, but then, as you say, when you actually look back, you see, can pinpoint those points of evolution and where, and the changes in yourself, if you let yourself go there. So I know it can be hard for some people.
Yeah, and just our inner critics can still be like, yeah, but I should be here by now. Yeah, but that's still not good enough. we can be really cruel to ourselves, can't we? I say that, like, I feel like I'm very much, but me, I feel like, because I'm in such a better place than I was maybe 10 years ago, I also, like, I've talked about this in one of, like, my first episode of the series, like, I tricked myself into thinking I was okay when I wasn't, because it's like, but things aren't, I'm not the way that I was then, like, things are so much better now. And I kind of discredited the fact that I wasn't okay, because I can't, you know, I can't be depressed because I love my job now, and I'm in a healthy relationship, and I've got a cat that I love. So it can be a little bit gray, can't it?
Absolutely. I feel I've been in a similar position where I didn't really acknowledge the impact of anxiety. And it's something that has been an issue for me for a long time. And I don't like calling it my anxiety, because it just, it's something that drifts in and out of my life, and I can recognize it, but I can look back and I can see, like, even those moments where I thought everything was okay, there was this thing in the background. And it's to the point now where it's something that I use as a motivator. And mm-hmm. I know you'll hit, like, people might be listening thinking that's super unhealthy.
But if it works for you, though, that's all that matters, I think, yeah. isn't it? I think that also, like, what is healthy in some ways? Like, we yeah. think that certain things are healthy because maybe that's normalized. Yeah. Again, like, so I wanted to talk to you. I feel like I'm jumping ahead now, but I just love your reels and how informative they are. And, like, all of... there's something about your reels that really, like, stick with me, like the information, and it just, like, helps me. It's like, yeah. And there is, like, a reel where you're like, it's like things that make you go I love that one. I watched it again, like, before we came to the call, because I was like, oh yeah, I want to watch it again. And I really love that, like, with just all these myths, and like even to the fact that having period pains is normal. And it's just like, but what you say is, like, it isn't.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, because there's a cultural aspect to this where we have normalized women's pain in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can look at, there's the origins to this where, you know, you look back into the, like, late 1800s, where you have this discussion of hysterical woman, and treating women's pain as all in their head, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain. And I think that undercurrent is still, like, very misogynistic, mm-hmm. is still present. And it's interesting when you say, well, actually, it's not normal, because I've had women challenge me on this, say, well, why have I experienced it my whole life? Mm-hmm. And I make the comparison to, like, a broken leg, you know, that's very painful. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like a heart attack, which, you know, some women experience period pain that is equivalent to a heart attack. We don't treat that as normal. Mm-hmm. If you had a broken leg or you are having a heart attack, you would get treated right away. Well, why don't we do the same thing with period pain? You know, we need to push back against this cultural programming that has normalized pain and emotional upheaval, and just the fact that, like, periods, it should just be a terrible time, mm-hmm. because they don't have to be.
No. Yeah, and I think that there's so many things that I want to talk to you about. all these things is, like, coming into my head. So, like, oh, I want to ask you about that. But yeah, we just don't talk about periods enough. And I think that's one of the things as well. And, like you said, we're culturally programmed into thinking that PMS or PMT is normal. That's part of it. Again, it's normal, or it's expected that women are like that at that time. And all of these different things, or we're supposed to be emotional or erratic and all of that, that's kind of normalized. When, like, yeah, we are supposed to have this whole range of feelings, aren't we? And that's part of it. But also when we're feeling that kind of that build up of that intensity, like, maybe that is also a sign that there's something off balance that can be, like, beneficial, because it's, no one likes feeling that way.
Yeah, no one does. And, you know, we do ourselves a disservice, as you say, when we just attribute all of these emotions to PMS or mm-hmm. PMT, when you can feel, it can be anxiety, and there can be a reason for that anxiety. You can feel depressed or upset. And it's like, I love this idea of just feeling what you feel, mm-hmm. acknowledging how you feel. And then if you start to notice patterns where you say, like, a week before your period, you notice that you feel this anxiety drifting in, and you can start to kind of name the anxiety and notice the effects on you. What is it, like, go to any extremes where this anxiety of not wanting to leave the house, or not mm-hmm. wanting to speak to people, or the inner critic comes out to play, then, you know, you need to kind of dig into that a little mm-hmm. bit, because there are physiological reasons behind anxiety, but it's not always connected to the period and the being at the end of the menstrual cycle. There is a connection, but it's not always connected.
And I think also when we have these fluctuations in how we feel throughout our cycle, and when we fight against it, that's where the anxiety can come through as well. So if you know that there are certain parts of your cycle that you feel more introverted, and you just want to be alone, and you do feel a bit agitated, and it would be better if you did kind of like just do what you need to do, but then we're programmed to be like on and be of service to other people, so then we're fighting against ourselves, which then creates this inner tension, which then I think gets us acting in ways that we don't, again, that don't feel great for us.
I completely agree. I think that if you have a period, you need to start to shift your energy focus towards, away from a 24-hour cycle,
yeah,
to more of a however long your entire menstrual cycle is. And so for our listeners who aren't aware, your menstrual cycle is the first day of your period all the way to the day before your next period. So that could be 24 days, it could be 35 days, it could be 28 days. It's not always 28 days. It's normal to have a period, a menstrual cycle that fluctuates, but that energy fluctuates across the menstrual cycle. So you think about during your period, you're tired, you have less energy, but that's okay. You shouldn't fight against it. You shouldn't exercise in the same way as you would say when you're ovulating, where you have a ton of energy and you kind of want to just be out in the world, you know, showing everyone how great you look. Whereas towards the end of your menstrual cycle, there's this kind of, your energy overall starts to decline, but there's this kind of newer energy where you just feel this drive towards getting stuff done. And there's this kind of lower level of tolerance for just nonsense.
I'm sure everybody listening to this can relate. I love how politely you put it as well. Like, low level tolerance for nonsense.
You can, there's a push and pull there where you feel like you just want to power through your to-do list, but you also have to acknowledge that your energy is like, you almost think about your energy like a finite resource. The more you use, then the less you have going into your period and during your period. So we move away from this 24-hour cycle, which is very masculine, because those of us who like, men or people who are born male, they will have this, they have a 24-hour testosterone cycle where it's highest in the morning and it depletes and goes down throughout the day. Those of us with a menstrual cycle, who have periods, we're not like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a real shift that is really important to acknowledge.
Yeah, and even, this is probably a really basic question, but even women have testosterone as well, don't
yes.
they? So even though they have testosterone, do they still have the same kind of cycle as men then? Or is it completely different? And like, as you're saying, like in the 28-day cycle, where does the testosterone come in for women?
Yeah, so great question. For women, testosterone, it starts to rise after you finish your period. And testosterone in women is really important because it helps support muscle mass. It's, you know, that's the kind of obvious one, but it also helps healthy bones. There's a connection there mentally with increased confidence, libido, but also this kind of, I think, confidence and risk-taking. There's a connection there, but also you can't kind of uncouple that with estrogen, which is also rising at the same time. And estrogen connects with energy. So you have more energy at that time, so you're more willing to take risk, you're more willing to do new things. And this is, so if we split our menstrual cycle into four parts, this is after you finish your period, where you're coming out of your inner winter, so your menstrual phase, mm-hmm. into your inner spring, so the follicular phase. And that's where estrogen is rising, testosterone is rising, and you go to your peak, which is your ovulation or your inner summer. And that's where you notice your energy is at its peak, your libido is at its peak, and you kind of want to be out in the world. You know, even if you're an introvert, there is this tendency to be okay with being in kind of new situations.
Yeah, but I think that even for extroverts, that's helpful for them to know, because it's like, right, if I'm gonna do something, where am I in my cycle, and plan it, like if a photo shoot or a presentation, do it when you're at that point in your cycle to have that, let your hormones give you that boost.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting to layer on your kind of social life and your work life to where you are in your cycle. And you know, you don't have to kind of go super detailed with it, like looking at day by day. If you don't want to, you can really just think, okay, well, I'm in this phase, so this is how I'm going to feel. You know, maybe if you have to do your, like if you have your own business, you have to do your accounts. You'd really do those towards the end of your cycle, where you're kind of more focused to on detail. Whereas in the middle of your cycle around ovulation, especially, it's like you might do you might pitch for a new business, or you might do a big talk or presentation, or go on a podcast.
Yeah. Where are you in your cycle today?
I'm actually coming towards the end of my cycle. I ovulated about a week ago. So I'm mm-hmm. coming towards the end of my cycle, but I've done a lot of work on my cycle over the last like kind of 7 months, because it just got totally messed up.
Has it?
Year. Oh, because I just was so stressed out. I started eating like whatever. And this is real talk from a nutritionist. I was eating so much sugar, like baking loads of cookies, Haribo, chocolate, and it just messed me up. And so I spent a lot of time kind of going back to what I say to my clients, just kind of refocusing on myself and what I eat and my sleep and how I take care of myself. So I didn't even let writing the book derail this. I really focused on like eating properly.
So I think people don't realize the impact that food has on our bodies and our menstrual health. And also I think probably for you, it's probably been good in some ways for you to kind of go through that phase, because then you've it's easier for you to remember, oh, it's like, this is how this feels in my body. This is what happens. And when you're teaching or working with your clients, it's so much easier to communicate that as well when it's kind of fresh.
Yeah.
As well, in a different environment and in a different setting. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and I feel excited to talk to you about, is like, because like last year I found your blog post about seed cycling really helpful, and I sort of started doing it, found that it really helped with I didn't realize that I had PMT. I kid myself in like, oh, I'm just so chill all the time. And then when I was recording the last series of the podcast, I was like, I kind of like noticed like a few comments that I'd made about my boyfriend, and I was like, oh, like I feel like there's some tension there that I kind of hadn't really realized, and I'd, at certain points of the month. And when I started doing the seat, and I've been tracking my cycle for quite a long time, so I know that a certain phase, a certain part of my cycle, the volume of his eating gets turned up. It's like it's amplified. I find myself clenching my jaw more and being more like agitated, and we would argue more then. And also last year, it's like pandemic, lockdown, like going through so much. But since starting the seed cycling, I found that I wasn't getting PMT. I wasn't, he wasn't getting, he wasn't as annoying at that time of my cycle. And all of these things. And it was just like, oh, maybe, yeah, like that's, I mean, I was aware, I got diagnosed with like anovulatory infertility in March last year. And like I'd known that I had PCOS for like a little while, which is like polycystic ovary syndrome. If anyone else is listening, like, what does that mean? And so I've been working on my hormones, but it was really interesting because things just get normal. It's like, oh yeah, it's normal for me. It's like, oh yeah, he just gets annoying. That's my hormones. But actually doing the seed cycling really helped like me sleep better and like level things out. But then I had found that my cycles, because my cycles were really irregular and sometimes quite long, they were getting longer. So I was like, I like the effect of the seeds, but not the longer cycles, because this isn't helping. So I've just started taking all of the seeds. So I have like a teaspoon of sesame seed, pumpkin seed, sunflower seed, some little chia seeds, flaxseed oil, in a smoothie with like almond milk and some blueberries, and that sorted it out. And I take different supplements as well. And you like used your like Instagram posts as like tips of like what to eat at different times of my cycle. And I've managed to, in the last year, like regulate my cycle. So it's like, and one of the things on your like things that make you go, is that and this is something the doctors have said to me before when they diagnosed me with PCOS, is to regulate my cycle. The only thing I could do was take the pill, which wasn't what I wanted to do. And it's like, I've done it. So I feel like there's so much that we can do for ourselves that can be fit into our lifestyles quite easily, that can be so transformative, because it's so much nicer not feeling like agitated in that way. Like I used to have a lot of spotting before like that stopped, like all of my acne's cleared up. So it's, and that's just from supplements and my seed smoothie. But do you find like, because nutrition's your thing, like what do you find most people come to you for?
So they come to me for about painful periods. Mm-hmm. That's number one, painful periods. PMT is a big one, but it's more like mood swings. That's what I hear. And then specific issues. So endometriosis, PCOS, fibroids. And then for one reason or another, I'm starting to see more clients who are interested in working on their fertility. It's more like, I have painful periods, I have mood swings, and and I want to get pregnant. That's the kind of like, they just kind of drop that in. I'm not a fertility specialist, but if you kind of go back to what menstrual health is, getting that sorted will help you on your fertility journey. Can I just ask your menstrual cycle, how long was it and how long is it now?
So it would vary between like 28 days to sometimes like 38, 42, 45. And now it's on average, it's like 34 days.
Great.
So part of me is like, is that still quite long? But it's within the average, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Anywhere between 24 to like 35, I'd say like, that's fine. So if you're like around 34, then that's where you're meant to be. And you know, I'm sure there's things that you can do to kind of dial things in even more, but you know, the work that you've done and to be aware of your menstrual cycle in that way is incredible. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Well, like where you're saying like dial into it more, what would you recommend?
So you know, you kind of want to look at specific nutrients, make sure that you know you're supporting all, because it's not just about supporting the way that you produce estrogen and progesterone. So when we ovulate, just for listeners who aren't aware, when you ovulate, you, that's how you make progesterone. So you want to be ovulating as every cycle, because if you're not making enough progesterone, That's where the anxiety comes in. That's where the sleep issues come in. Mm-hmm. That's where the mood swings come in. And that also, that's where the spotting comes in as well. And then you want to make sure that you also are making enough estrogen in the first half of your cycle. So, you know, you'll see stuff online where people are talking about being estrogen dominant. I don't use that phrase.
Okay.
I always talk about having too much estrogen in relation to progesterone, because in the first half of your cycle, you're supposed to be estrogen dominant.
Right.
In the second half of your cycle, you're supposed to be progesterone dominant. Progesterone, like, it's a chilling, calming hormone, and it kind of tamps down the fizzy energy that you feel right before you ovulate. So I would look at nutrient deficiencies. So do like blood testing, see what's happening there. Look at what's happening with your liver and your gut, because mm-hmm. that's where we break down the hormones that our body has used. So estrogen specifically, we have a whole area of our gut. So when I talk about the gut, I'm talking about the small and the large intestine. And we have a whole set of bacteria there that is devoted to breaking down estrogen. So this is where the connection is with gut health that I talked about earlier. So then supporting the liver. So like something I see often is alcohol. So clients that use alcohol as a way to unwind and kind of, in no judgment because I've been there.
Yeah.
It's like one glass becomes two, becomes three, and then it becomes a nightly thing. And we have to think about the effect that it has on our liver, because alcohol is so toxic in the body that the body, the liver specifically, wants to get rid of it as soon as possible. And so it's doing that to the detriment of all of its other function, which is, you know, breaking down fats, breaking down carbohydrates, but also breaking down the hormones like estrogen that our body has used so that it then can get packaged and cleared out through our urine and our bowel movements. So looking at what's happening in the liver, making sure that you're getting the nutrients in there to support the liver. Thyroid is something interesting, but like to kind of put this all into context, when I work with my clients, I'm looking at the everything that's happening with them in context. So I'm not saying look at your thyroid, look at it. I'm looking like, okay, have we got the foundation down first? So how are you sleeping? How much water are you drinking? Are you eating three meals a day? Are you kind of listening to your hunger and your fullness? What are we adding in to your meals to make sure that you're getting the building blocks from your food in order to support your health? Because like food is really important, and the food that we eat is helps make up the composition of our body. So like if you're not eating fat, you're not able to make enough estrogen or progesterone. So there's like a lot of things that I would look at, but I always start with the foundations, because like sleep, for example, you could be eating really well and like exercising regularly, breathing, but if you're not getting enough sleep, you're not giving your body the opportunity to recover, recuperate, and like, you know, their liver is so active at night, and our livers regenerate. And if you're not getting enough sleep, you're kind of missing that opportunity to support your liver.
Yeah. And also I think something that I'm not great at, because I'm a bit of a night owl, but actually what time you go to sleep is really important as well. So I had my first acupuncture treatment last week. My friend booked me in with this lady called Nat in Newquay, and she's incredible. I just wish I lived there because I could go to her all the time. But she was saying like at different times of the night, different parts of your body are healing and recovering and doing their thing. And if you wake up at certain different times, that means something.
Yeah. So that's that comes from Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. And they say that we have all of our organs have a clock. And so if you map the kind of 24-hour day, there are different organs that are active at different times. So our livers are most active at night. And I think it's something like, it's either between 2 to 4 or 1 to 3 a.m. And if you notice that you're getting up at a certain time, there could be something connected to the liver. And I think this is really interesting to layer on these different modalities, because sometimes we can be so focused on like Western medicine and this kind of allopathic model. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember that, like, and I do think it's like there is something kind of like almost racist in like the way that people discount Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine, because there's a lot of, I mean, they've been like, they're thousands of years old, and there's a lot of insight that you can get when you layer these different elements on.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating, like these like Eastern ancient practices have got so much that Western medicine and allopathic medicine doesn't have.
Yeah,
like so much. I felt so good after my acupuncture treatment. I want to have it again. It's just the same, like you said, that people discredit because it's from another culture, even though it's ancient and people are still using it.
Yeah.
If it was that much, you know, like if it would be a fluke otherwise, wouldn't it? But if it's been going on for all of these years and people are going back to it and having great effects with it, why isn't it more widely recognized? But like you said, it's...
Yeah, there's just a kind of like cultural... what's the word that I want to use? It's just, I don't know what, I can't think of the word, but you know, there's even in research where people can, I've seen this in books where people have discounted research that's come from India and from China. Yeah. What? And it's just wild. People have discounted herbs like adaptogens. Ugh. Yeah, I know, it's wild. It's wild when there's lots of research behind this, but it's just kind of like cultural supremacy of like, well, it has to come from like these Western countries or else it's not valid. And it's just, yeah, anyway.
But I don't know, and then like, yeah, just take the pill.
Yeah.
Let's just mask it all up. Yeah. Pretend it's not there. Yeah. And come back when you want to get pregnant. So you can then just maybe cover up some more things that are like out of balance. So for anybody like that is listening that is maybe kind of like curious to learn more, or they've got kind of some of the things that you might have mentioned, like, oh, like I experienced that, or this is how I feel, like, how can someone tell if they have got a hormone imbalance?
Yeah, great question. So it goes back to looking at what's happening for you in your menstrual cycle. So if your first thing would be to start to notice how you feel during your period, and you know, you can go quite deep in the tracking, but you can take it to like on a very broad level. So how many days is your period? How heavy is it? Do you experience any pain? What is the pain like? Like, can you describe the pain? You know, do you get clots? How is your mood? What's your energy like during your period? And then once you kind of have a handle on what's happening with your period, then you can start to look at how you feel when you come out of your period. Notice any mood changes. Does your energy increase? Does your libido change? Then from a physical level, you can say, well, actually, I start to notice changes in my cervical fluid. And by the way, for anyone listening, it's normal to have changes in the cervical fluid. And if you are wearing panty liners every day, I would encourage you to stop doing that, because that fluid is normal and it's a sign that you're making enough estrogen. And that if you do are in a place where you're trying to get pregnant or in the future, you need that cervical fluid, which changes as you move towards ovulation, because that's what catches the sperm and then takes it towards the egg. So this is a sign of a healthy menstrual cycle and a sign that you're making enough estrogen.
So do you find that people think that that's unhealthy then?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Because we get taught that our vaginas are dirty, our vaginas and vulvas are dirty, and that they smell.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, we get douches are things that people use to mm-hmm. kind of, you know, we're not supposed to smell like flowers.
Yeah, and like, who's that for anyway?
Yeah, exactly. But that's all something that you can notice, especially if you're starting to focus more on ovulation, mm-hmm. which I like to think of as the central point of, well, it is the central point of our menstrual cycle, but it is the main event, not our periods. Ovulation.
It's like the full moon.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Literally the full moon. Yeah. Like I see what you did there.
Like,
and then looking at the time right before your period, you sort of want to notice, well, do you have any mood changes?
Mm-hmm.
What's your energy like? Do you spot? When does that start? Do you experience pain before your period? Cravings, bloating? What else? Those are any kind of changes that you might experience before your period. And just start to then take note. And there's lots of different ways that you can take note of this. You can use an app. You can use a journal. You can, you know, even use the notes app in your phone.
Mm-hmm. What apps would you recommend?
So
what are your go-tos?
Yeah, I don't use an app anymore.
Well, you don't need to.
Yeah.
But for people that are just starting out, like, they need some training wheels.
So you can use, actually, I do use the Apple, that you can track it using your Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I do do that. I literally just track the day my period starts and the day it ends. But for those of who are starting out, you can do that. Moody is a great app.
Mm-hmm.
Actually layers on mood changes as well. So mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Flow is another really great app. If you're more into exercise, Jessica Ennis, I think she's a triathlete, the Olympian.
Okay, yeah, I haven't heard of
her before. She has an app which is layers on the kind of fitness element. So it changes in the way that you move across your menstrual cycle. So you could use that.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different journals out there. There's a great one, kind of layering in the moon. There's a great one called Life Aligned. And if you want to use your moon, the moon to track how you feel, especially if you're on the pill,
mm-hmm.
or you're in perimenopausal or menopausal or postmenopausal, you can use the moon to track your energy. Because as you know,
yeah.
we get a lot of energy from the moon, and we can connect how we feel to whatever phase the moon's in. So, yeah.
I think, and that's like with the moon, I think as well, it like I said about the main event being like the full moon, like understanding those cycles. Because when I did we did the IG live together, didn't we, last summer on your channel. So if anyone wants to find it, that's on Eat Love Move. Eat Love Move.
Fair.
I was like, Eat Move Love, Eat Love Move. Eat Love Move. And we talked about that, and like for people that are on the pill that are like, well, how do I track kind of like my energy? Because the pill, that's altering your cycle anyway, isn't it? And doing all sorts of other things, and tracking with the moon can help you kind of like see where you're at in that way. If you don't have period, like, because some people, is it the mini pill where you don't have periods, or some people don't have periods as well? So starting to track your energy with the moon can, and like you said, perimenopausal. And for people like that want happy hormones, like what would some tips be that you would give people? Like, what are your kind of like, I don't know, maybe like foundational things that you think that make a big difference to people's hormone health?
Yeah, so to be clear, I mean, hormones are not just estrogen and progesterone. Mm-hmm. We have over 150 hormones that kind of, I don't like to think of them controlling us. You know, mm-hmm. My hormones are driving me crazy. Yeah. They control me. I like to think of them guiding us. So, you know, we have hormones that control our hunger, our thirst, the way we sleep, our energy, our mood. So serotonin, which is, you know, one of the hormones that I'm talking about. So how can people have happy hormones? I'd say, just, you know, really going back to the basics is important, because, you know, looking at sleep specifically, when we wake up in the morning, we want to kind of not jump out of bed.
Like in a Disney movie. Yeah, like birds. Like, open up the curtains.
We want to kind of not feel like we could just go back to sleep. And that's driven by a hormone called cortisol, which we think of as, it's our primary stress hormone, but it helps give us that get up and go. But then as we go towards into the evening, when it starts to get dark outside, that's where melatonin kicks in, our sleep hormone that helps us get to sleep, but also stay asleep. So just looking at your sleep, you know, what are you doing to make sure you're getting enough light? You know, exposure to light is really important to set your circadian rhythm, so your body clock, and for your body to know it's daytime, time to be awake. And it's, you know, it's time to sleep, and for you to be able to make enough melatonin. So not using screens at night. If you do use screens, use the blue light blocking glasses. So mm-hmm. your body is able to make enough melatonin. But also like other things, that ways to have good hormone health, acknowledging your hunger. So, you know, I never will be one of those people that's like, I'm too busy to eat. That's just will never be me. but some people, they override their hunger cue. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of wonder why they're diving into like a bag of Haribo or ice cream at mm-hmm. the end of the day. Because there's hormones that govern that. But they requires us to tune in to when we feel hungry, but also when we feel full, and acknowledging that. So there's this kind of listening to that inner wisdom. That's really important. And then from like our sex hormones, so estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and the other ones, you know, what I talked about in terms of tracking your menstrual cycle is really important. Knowing where you are, acknowledging how you feel, but then going back to those foundations of sleep, eating,
drinking enough water,
yeah. making sure you have a bowel movement every day, because that's how we get rid of the hormones that our body has broken down. And you know, it may sound basic, but if you're not having if you have PMS, and you're constipated and not having a bowel movement every day, there's a link there, because your body will start to recycle the estrogen, especially that is meant to be eliminated, mm-hmm. and that can create an imbalance. So it's, I every time I talk about this, I just think, is this so basic? But you know, a lot of us just aren't doing these basics because we don't have the time, or we've overridden some of our signals, mm-hmm. or we've lost that connection with ourselves. Even like breathing. Yes, we have to breathe to be alive. But if we think about our nervous system, so our autonomic nervous system, where we have this fight or flight, so the sympathetic nervous system, and the parasympathetic nervous system, which is rest, digest, tend, and befriend. When we're in that fight or flight our cortisol is just, you know, all over the place. And that has an effect on our thyroid. It has an effect on our menstrual health, and our body doesn't feel safe enough to ovulate or have a period as it should. So really tuning into your body and how you feel is just, it's so valuable.
Yeah. And I think, but so many of us, and this is a theme that comes up again and again in these conversations that I have on for this podcast, is that we are so disconnected from our bodies. Mm. Yeah. And we just take it for granted, or we just don't know about it enough, or like we just think that maybe that if we don't have a bowel movement every day, we're like, oh yeah, I just don't that's just how I am. And we don't think like, oh, maybe that's also a sign, and my body's saying that it needs something to help it do what it needs to do.
Yeah. If you are listening and you haven't had a bowel movement like over the last couple of days, despite what your doctor might say, which is, I've heard this, doctors, oh, you know, having one to two a week, that's fine. It's not fine.
Well, yeah, I used to think it was normal. And then I was reading Woman Code, and that taught me a lot about kind of hormone health and things like that, and understanding like, even if you having gum disease can delay, it can take a woman longer to get pregnant if she's got gum disease.
Yeah.
And the bowel movement thing, and that like if you've got BO or like acne, that's a the acne is like the last place of something to show up.
Yeah, so acne or the hair.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, whoa. It just goes so deep and everything's so connected. And like, again, with the acne, you go to the doctor, then, oh, go on the pill. Like, that will take it away. It's not like, oh, well, there's something going on. There's an imbalance there.
Yeah.
There's something that your body's saying, like, hello. Like, help me, support me.
But I think just talking about the pill, what's really important is that if you're listening and you're taking the pill, it's important for you not to feel shamed for your choice. It's, you know, okay, there's an episode of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Where Charlotte and Miranda are talking, and I think Charlotte's going to quit her job in the museum. Mm-hmm. And then Miranda's like, well, you know, you have to be comfortable with your choice. And so Charlotte is, I am. And Miranda's like, choose your choice. Be comfortable with your choice. And I think kind of connecting that, which we talked about around the pill, that's the thing. You have to be comfortable with your choice, and don't allow yourself to feel shamed by this. You know, it would be great, you know, whatever reason you go on the pill, that's your reason, and own it. But just know that you need to know that you've made an informed decision about this, knowing the side effects, the potential side effects of being on the pill.
Yeah, I think that's the thing for me, where it's like I went on the pill from a really young age, and it wasn't an informed choice. It was just like, just take this, and that's what everyone else was doing, and I didn't actually know anything about it, and I didn't know enough about my body and self to understand like what that was doing, and that there was like so many other options. But I think what you are saying about like choosing your choice and that it's so wise, isn't it? And it's applicable to everything, like these decisions that we make often because we think that we have to, but actually there might be another choice, or there might be something else for you, or doing that little bit of research will make you feel more confident in that choice. Because I think sometimes making a choice from someone else for someone else, or because that's what someone else has said and we feel scared, so that's what we do, that can also have its implications in its own way, can't it?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's always got to come back to like, is that the right decision for you? Like,
yeah, is it the right decision for you? How do you understand the choice that you've made? Or is it something that you've been pushed towards? And if you have been pushed towards it, you need to interrogate it, because, you know, body autonomy is really important in like lots of different contexts. But when it comes to the pill, this can have an impact. If you're in a place where you're thinking about having children or now or in the future, it can have an impact on your fertility. And I've seen this with clients. So just understand what you're putting in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also if it supports you in other ways at that time, that's right for you then
yeah.
I think also knowing that our body's wise enough to heal as well,
yeah.
And it can recover, because I feel like that's what I feel like I'm experiencing personally. So I want to quickly just talk about your book, because I feel like everybody needs to know about this. It's not out until March next year, but so that everybody is ready, because I'm sure that after listening to this, people will be like, I want to know more. Because your book is called You Can Have a Better Period, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what can people, like, with everything that we just talked about, like, what can they expect with your new book?
So I've written it. When I was writing it, I had this post-it note that I kept looking at. Like, write the book that you wanted to read when you were learning about your period.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we shouldn't need to have a biology degree to understand our bodies. And the way that I wrote it was, when I was writing it, I was really stressed out, because I was having to distill these really complicated subjects into something that I wanted that anyone could to be able to pick it up and be able to understand. And that's a kind of, it's split into the different phases of the menstrual cycle. And then it has like different chapters that, you know, address specific issues, like what if you don't have a period, or like, and you're in your menstruating years,
mm-hmm.
or what if you have period pain or mood swings, and kind of diving into specific issues that are part and parcel of the menstrual cycle. Not part and parcel, that makes it feel like they're inevitable, because they're mm-hmm. not, but can be issues that can come with, for some people, having a menstrual cycle. I want people to be able to flip through the book, use it as a resource, but also use it as a way to better understand their bodies and their menstrual health.
Wow. And for all the people that are like, tell me more, I can't wait for the book. How can they like work with you experience all of your good stuff?
So my website is www.eatlovemove. If you want to find out about the book, the pre-order, I think it's going to start maybe January next mm-hmm. year. I don't know how long pre-orders, you know better than
sometimes it comes out, I don't know, like sometimes it comes out quite far in advance.
Yeah.
But they just don't shout, people don't shout out about it.
okay. So I think the pre-order may start in the autumn. Mm. So I'll let people know about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find out more right now about your menstrual health, menstrual cycle, my Instagram page, which is @eatlovemove, is a really great resource. I put a ton of stuff out there because I just want people to learn about this stuff in a really easy to understand way.
And you do one-to-one sessions as well, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do that. I do work with women on a one-to-one basis, 12-week program. So if you have an issue with your menstrual health now and you want my support, go to my website and you can book in a kind of preliminary chat, and we can talk about how I might be able to help.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And then, and one more thing, like, did you do a PCOS course as well?
Yes, I did.
So. Stalker alert. Yeah.
So that I did a PCOS course with this company called Parla,
mm-hmm.
And actually that's coming back in August. So
cool. I'm gonna keep. I only know because I saw it earlier in the year, and I was like, oh my gosh! But I was like, I'm not. hadn't got the space to do it, but I'm like, oh, I'm asking personally myself, so I know when that's coming back. So August.
Yeah, August, beginning of August. Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Right, I'll check that out. Keep an eye out for that. And one very last question. I always ask my guests, like, what is your another phase? Like, if you could go back in time, or there's a phase that you're excited about in the future that's coming up, like, what is your another phase?
This is such a great question, because when I was, you know, we talked about earlier this idea of looking back to where you've come from. But when I was younger, I used to spend a lot of time kind of not wishing my life away, but kind of wishing I was in a different place, you know, wishing I had more money, or I wish, you know, I was in a different house, or just wishing I was in a different position. And if I could go back, I would go back to tell myself to stop doing that, to enjoy where I was. Because, like, I think about times I was having a great time. I was clubbing all the time. It was at the beginning of my career, and like, life was so exciting, but I couldn't see it. And now I'm really happy to say that I don't do that anymore. I'm really happy with where I am now. And, you know, looking forward to the future, I mean, I'm looking forward to my book coming out, but I really, this year has taught me to take things day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what I'm really trying to do.
Oh, amazing. That's all just like so wise. And I'm sure there are people listening that are like, oh my gosh, yeah, like, just be where you are now.
Yeah.
And enjoy that, because I think we can get so tripped up into like looking around. It's only in hindsight you're like, oh, if only I could be back there.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we enjoy it, it's easier, isn't it?
Yeah. The present is a present.
Yes. I love that. Oh, well, thank you so much, Lynise. It's been absolutely incredible talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Another Phase. I hope that you have found these topics insightful and expansive, and that, yeah, you've enjoyed listening to this as much as I have done recording it. You can find me on Instagram at tamaradreesen_, as well as my website, which is wolfsister.com. And that is where you can book in with me for a tarot reading, find out about moon ceremonies, events, my books, as well as the podcast show notes and links. If these conversations have been resonating with you and you've got a spare few minutes, then I would really appreciate it if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and show some love for Another Phase by leaving a rating and a review to let people know what they can expect when they're listening to these conversations. If you haven't already, then make sure that you are subscribed to make sure that you don't miss out on any of the episodes that are coming up. They are released weekly. Thursdays is where it's at, so I will look forward to catching up with you then.